So glad to have all of you here this morning. Welcome you to our worship service. Those of you who are online this morning, welcome you as well. So glad to have you here this morning as we gather together. So, hey, just a little heads up. I'm dealing with a little bit of an upper respiratory infection this morning, so I'm going to be doing things a little differently, and that's the reason the water is right there in terms of working with that. But again, glad to have all of you here this morning in our worship service. We're going to begin this morning with our opening chorus, and it is number 507, Through It All. And we're going to sing that twice. But before we do that, just a little heads up, toward the end of the service, that closing hymn, we're going to be doing that a little bit differently. So you may want to look at that in your bulletin before we get there. I'll walk us through it when we get there. But just so you can look at it now, all of you are grabbing your bulletins and looking at that. But we're going to begin with this gathering chorus, number 507. I invite you to stand as you are able. We're going to sing through it twice.
Come to that time in our service in which we have the announcements that we have coming up. Please look in your bulletin, and they're on the screens as well in the halls. We have a Valentine party that is coming up. If you've noticed the cute little signs all over the church, there is a Valentine party coming up on February the 8th. The times are 11:30 to 1 o'clock. And you're asked to bring an appetizer or a dessert. And then they'd also like you to bring a wedding photo. Now, I know a lot of you haven't changed very much since then. But be sure to bring that so that everybody can, you know, have fun with that. Also, if you'd like to assist, please contact Leah or call the office. If you're looking for a United Methodist youth group, please talk to Leah as well. She'll make the connections for you for one that's located in our area. Coming around on the clipboards this morning, if you have the opportunity, we ask that you stay for breakfast or come for breakfast on February the 12th. It's being sponsored by the Scouts, and that will also be Scouts Sunday. We ask that you come out and support the Scouts. This troop has done a lot of wonderful things. And they produced a lot of Eagle Scouts, and it's something to be very, very proud of. There is also on the clipboard to sign up for those that are young at heart on the road February the 14th. So you've got just a little bit of time, but go ahead and sign up for those things as well. Other things that we have, birthdays this week. Emma Kiesling has a birthday this week. Also, celebrating anniversaries this week is Doug and Evelyn Fuquay, and one of the flowers are here for them for 51 years. And just real close behind them, just a few years yet to go, is John and Angie are celebrating their anniversary this week as well, a total of 44 years. and one of the flowers are on the altar are for them as well. Are there other announcements that need to be made this morning? Oh, potluck. Oh, yeah. Lucky Pot wins today, right? Mark has been cooking all day long, and so all you had to do was bring dessert. He's provided the main course. We will begin, I guess, around 11:30 this morning with the dinner, the meal. After the meal, we're going to do a presentation on rebranding of our church and to look at that as to whether it's feasible or not. Are there any others that need to be mentioned at this time? If not, join me. Oh, excuse me, nope. We need to do the lighting of the candles first. If you would like to join us in lighting your candle at home, please do so at this time and bring the light of Christ into your home as well as here. Please join me in the call to worship. Life is a journey. Sometimes we are in the valley, surrounded by darkness, gloom, and despair. Please join me in singing, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought. Hymn number 128, and if you would please stand if you are able. Verses 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
you would, I invite you to reach for this little songbook, or if you've memorized it by now, we're going to join together in this opening or in this chorus that we sing, number 2226 in this little book, Bind Us Together. And Danielle is going to give us a lot of support this morning. And Olivia, thank you. All right. Chorus every week, and it talks about what holds us together, and it talks about unity, which in some ways seems kind of odd as we live through a time when the United Methodist Church is coming apart, a denomination that has lived together in our differences for decades now has finally lost its tolerance, and we find ourselves separating over a variety of different issues that have been a part of our denomination for a long time. We don't know for sure what that's going to mean for us. We don't know for sure what's going to happen. There are a couple events on the horizon that will have a lot to do with what's going on. In the early part of 2024, in April, there'll be another general conference, and we'll learn a little more about the future then. But before then, many of our sister congregations will have voted to leave the denomination. And we sing Bind Us Together in Love, kind of in the face of that, to be honest about it, that there are things that are stronger than our differences that hold us together and hold us together in God. And so as a people this morning, I just invite us to pray about those things which call us to be together in our faith, to be together as a people, to be together in our understanding of what God calls us to and to be about. So would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Almighty and gracious God, sometimes, Lord, we don't do things that are logical. In a time of separation, we sing about being together. Because, Lord, your will is for us to be together, not to agree on everything, but to be together, and to celebrate the relationship, Lord, that we hold and have in you, and to be able, Lord, to tolerate the differences that are a part of our lives and a part of our world. We're not real good at that. But Lord, we just pray this morning for your church and for each of us individually as we go forward, God. We pray, Lord, that we may find the ground that is common among us and lift that up and build upon it, and that our hearts may be drawn to each other in this sense of your Spirit and the sense of unity and love. God, we just pray for the future of this congregation, that as we go forward, God, that we feel your guidance and your direction, and that we, Lord, find ourselves acting and being in the center of your will. And that that's not only us as a congregation, but that's us individually as well. So, Lord, we lift this up to you. We don't sing these words empty, God. We sing them full of meaning and purpose. And we sing them, Lord God, to you, that you would use the strongest force in the world, love, to bind our hearts to one another, to bind our hearts to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
As we continue in our efforts to bind ourselves together, it's the time that we share our prayer concerns for those who are sick, who need our help or need God's help. On the back of your bulletin is a list that's an ongoing prayer concerns, and we pray that you'll continually keep those in your mind as you pray this week. Are there others out there that are in need of prayer?
I would ask that you remember Phil and Louise Gillespie. Their son-in-law's funeral is tomorrow at Jefferson Barracks.
Are there others? Are there any joys you would like to share?
Well, this is an amazingly quiet week.
Yes, it is.
All right. There are important prayer concerns that are listed on the screens and in your bulletin as well this morning. I just really encourage you to pay attention to those and lift those up. Let's be in an attitude of prayer. I invite you to be in prayer in your pew. If you'd like to come and join me this morning at the altar rail, you're welcome to do that. Dean's going to play a little bit of transition music and give you plenty of opportunity to get up here. Let's be in an attitude of prayer. And be glad in it. And so, Lord, we do. We come here, God, with our hearts full of thanksgiving and praise for all the blessings that are a part of our life this day and really, God, every day. We're thankful to be here this morning, Lord, gathered in this sanctuary with those who are here and gathered online with those who are there. And we welcome all of them, Lord, this morning, and so glad to have them as a part of this worship experience. But God, we welcome you this morning, and we welcome your Holy Spirit that is a part of all of our lives, that walks with us every day, God. Whether we are in the mountaintop of blessing or we are in the dark valley of loneliness and despair, if we are troubled, Lord, we are grateful this morning that you are present and that you are there. Lord, we lift up those this morning who we need to remember in our thoughts and prayers. There are those in this congregation, Lord, this week who have lost loved ones. And we lift them, Lord God, up to you. You promised to comfort us in our grief, and we thank you for that. Because in so many ways, God, you're the only real comfort we have in the midst of that. Your message, your promises, your good news. Provide us, Lord, the comfort that we need in these situations. And we're thankful for them. And Lord, we gather this morning for those and lift up those who we need to remember who have health concerns. And we pray for them this morning, God. Some, Lord, who are in the midst of treatment, some who are recovering from that, some who are facing it, God, we lift them all up to you. We pray, God, that you be with them and lay your healing hand upon them. For others, Lord, who are struggling in the myriad of concerns and challenges that affects our world, God, we lift them up to you. And God, we pray your blessing be upon them. God, we know you hear our prayers. Thank you for that. And Lord, we know you answer them. And thank you for that. And Lord, you know we struggle sometimes with the fact that you don't answer them the way we think you should. You don't do what we think you should. You don't give us the answer we want. And God, we just confess that this morning. That sometimes we struggle with that. And we're thankful, Lord, this morning that our struggle is not a barrier. That you love us in spite of our struggles and in spite of our difficulties. Sometimes in spite of our attitudes toward you and others. That your love for us has never changed. Thank you, God, for the constant and faithfulness of the relationship that you pour out upon us every day. God, we lift up our church today. Not only this church here that's gathering right now, but our churches which go across and around the world, God. We lift up all people this morning, God, who call upon you as Lord and Savior, and pray, God, that you would just bless the church, that you would help us, God, to share the good news of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, with the world in which we live. So, God, hear our prayers this morning as we raise them to you. And, God, hear our prayer as we come together praying the prayer that you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. Amen.
As we continue in our worship, please join in singing hymn number 377, It Is Well With My Soul, 1, 2, and 3.
you bow your heads with me in prayer as we lift up our offering this morning? Let's be in an attitude of prayer. Almighty and gracious God, for those, Lord, who every week and in so many other ways support the life of your church, we give thanks and praise. For the generosity of those who offer financially, God, but also for those who give of their time and of their energy, of their gifts and of their talents to advance the work of your kingdom and of your church, to help us be more effective in our mission of making disciples. Would you bless, Lord, these givers and these gifts for the work of your kingdom and of your church? In your name we pray. Amen.
We have two scripture readings today. The first is from Habakkuk 3:17 through 19. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Then from Psalms 137. By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept as we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps. For there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing to us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign country? If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you. If I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. Remember, Lord, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cried. Tear it down to the foundations. Daughter Babylon, doomed to destruction, happy is the one who repays you according to what you have done to us. Happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word.
I was visiting with a member of the congregation the other day, and we were talking about favorite hymns. And they shared that one of their favorite was the one we just sang, It Is Well With My Soul, and how that third verse is such a powerful verse. My sin, not in part, but in whole, is nailed to the cross. And I used to go to camp meetings with my grandparents, and remembered quite literally the term of shouting Methodist, because there were shouting Methodists when they heard those words. And we're working in a series of not favorite hymns, but of favorite verses of mine as we move through this season, from in the season of Epiphany as we prepare and move toward the season of Lent, which begins with Ash Wednesday later next month. And this reading from Habakkuk is a favorite of mine. Last fall, Teresa and I we made several trips to Branson. We had planned a couple of them, and then a couple just got inserted in the midst of that, so it seemed like every other week we were driving over there. But since it's one of our happy places, that was good with us. And we went over there for Thanksgiving with our older daughter and her husband, Matt, and our grandson, Josh. Our older grandson, Alex, was in California with the SIU basketball team over Thanksgiving, but we were there, and so we got a day with Josh, and he wanted to go see the Titanic exhibit. I don't know how many of you have ever been through one of the Titanic exhibits. Some of them travel around, but they've got one there that's permanent. And Teresa and I have been through it a couple of times, and it's a really amazing experience to go through that. And when you get ready to go through, they give you an identity, and you're identified either as a passenger of the Titanic, or you're one of the crew persons of the Titanic, and the women get women, and the children get children, and, you know, as you go through that. And so we were all given an identity, and I was a crewman of the Titanic on this particular day. And So you go through, and if you've ever been through it, part of it is reconstructions of different parts of the ship. So you can walk up the grand stairway that was a part of the original Titanic when it was built, and part of it is looking at the different rooms where people stayed, and you can go through this one hallway, and there is a third-class bunk or room where people lived, and the little bunks that are on both sides and the small room that is there. You see all about the history of the building of the ship and what happened, but of course we all know what happened, what made the Titanic famous. It didn't make it, did it? Struck an iceberg in the North Atlantic, and in 2 hours and 40 minutes it was under the water. And thousands of people died. I've often wondered what it had to be like as I walked through that exhibit to be a person who was on that ship, knowing what's going to happen, and there's nothing in the world you can do to stop it. You are in the middle of the Atlantic in literally freezing ice-cold water that ice cubes are floating around in, and you can't change it. You can't undo. And, you know, maybe not for 2 hours, but at least for an hour, everybody on that ship knew what was going to happen. The chaos that was going on, the lifeboats that were there, and you can't change it. It's going down. And if you're not on a lifeboat, you're going down with it. And not only you can't protect yourself, but what had to be so hard was you can't protect your loved ones. There are families on there with husbands and wives and children. And this is going to happen. You can't stop it. It's just going to be there. And the only thing it's going to do is it's going to play itself out, and you got to deal with it. If you can put yourself in that mentality, in that situation, then you can understand a little bit about this Old Testament prophet and what he was writing about. Because their world was about to change, and he knew it. The Chaldeans were coming. Babylon had risen to be a world power. And it was marching an army across the world conquering. And they were on their way. And there was not a thing in the world that you could do about it. It was just going to happen. Might not be today, might not be tomorrow, might not be next week, but it was going to be there. And so a lot of the book is that Old Testament prophet crying out to God and just asking for God to intervene in this situation. The book starts like this. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen? Or I cry to you violence, and you will not save. Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at terrible destruction and violence that are before me? Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack, the justice never prevails, the wicked surround the righteous, therefore judgment comes forth perverted. And then the Lord, look at the nations and see, be astonished, for a work is being done in your days, and you will not believe if you were told. I am rousing the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous nation. What God is saying, and kind of what's going on in that, is Habakkuk is doing what all of us would do in that situation. He's crying out to God and saying, God, this is bigger than me. This is bigger than us. If you don't save us, we're not saved. And God's saying back, I'm not going to. I'm not going to do it. And he says very clearly, matter of fact, I have raised these people for this purpose, to take you down, to destroy the nation. Habakkuk writes about that a little earlier in that section I read to you. Why? Because the sins of the people are so great that righteousness is something that's not valued anymore, that justice is perverted, that the people are evil. And so God is not listening anymore. God has sent person after person to try to convince them to turn from their sin and their wickedness, to return to God. And they won't do it. And so God is punishing the nation. And you know what? If I'm honest at this point, there's a part of this Old Testament theology, and it goes through a lot of the Old Testament, that I've always struggled with. The idea of the punishment of a nation. Because, well, I don't like it. You know what? There's good people in that nation. They're people that didn't do anything wrong. They're not bad people. It's the leaders that are bad. Why don't they get punished? But the other people don't have to suffer because of it. But that's not the way it is. You know? It's like you watch something bad coming and you can't stop it. You can't prevent it. And so the good get taken down with the bad, and it's a horrible feeling. You know, it's like when you were in school and the teacher said, you know, if you're all good today, at the end of the day, I have a special treat for you. Well, what do you know? I'm not going to get a treat. Why? Because not everybody's going to be good. That's the way it always is. Somebody's going to screw it up. Somebody's going to get mad and they're going to say something, or somebody's just mean-spirited and they're going to take it away from everybody. And so when the whole group gets treated that way, it's like, and you look at that as a kid and you say, you know, why should I lose my treat because so-and-so didn't behave? I behaved. Shouldn't I get my reward? But sometimes that's not the way it is it? Sometimes it's the group, and you have to live with whatever happens to the group. And that's the way it was in the Old Testament. And that's what Habakkuk is writing about in the midst of that. And it's an awful situation. But the reality is this. It's the situation you and I live with every day, isn't it? Isn't that really the world we live in? I mean, honestly? I mean, some man or woman goes to a bar and has too many drinks and gets in their car and drives and runs into a group of people and causes an accident, maybe even a fatal accident, and they didn't do anything wrong. They were just out in their car going someplace. Like you and I do every day. And because somebody makes stupid decisions and people watch them walk out and don't stop them, people have to pay for that. And they didn't do anything to deserve it. But in the world in which we live, that kind of thing happens sometimes. You know, people break into your home. They tear up things. They take things that belong to you. They steal from you. Those kind of things happen all the time. People don't deserve that. They didn't do anything to deserve it. It's just people making bad choices and bad decisions. And that affects us. That happens to us. A bully at school who's troubling your child or your grandchild. They didn't do anything to deserve that. It's just something that happens in those kind of environments sometimes. And what can you do about it? In the midst of that, Habakkuk writes about that situation. He writes about that story in the history of the Jewish nation and of the people. The Old Testament says they deserve it, but I have to believe not everybody deserved it. And yet sometimes the good suffer right along with the wicked. We don't like it, and it's not fair, but you don't get very old before somebody looks at you and says, well, the world's not fair. And it isn't sometimes, is it? But gosh, we want our God to be fair, don't we? We want to hang on to that. We want that to be right, and we want that to be fair. You understand how the Jewish people felt. The psalm that was read today is a psalm out of that experience after they have been defeated. And many of them have been taken into exile. And that psalm comes out of that experience. How can we sing the Lord's songs in a foreign land? And those last verses in that are cruel. But what they're basically saying is, I hope to live to see somebody do to you what you did to us. I hope I live long enough to watch your children killed the way you killed ours. Those are hard things. and hard verses. And what's interesting is in the midst of this, the prophet writes the words of the scripture lesson today. The prophet writes these words: "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior." And you have to ask yourself, where is any sense at all in that? And what the prophet is saying is this: I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care how unfair or awful it seems at times. I don't care how dark the path or gloomy the day. There is one thing that I will never, ever let go of. And that is my God. Because I don't know what tomorrow brings. And I don't know what may be out there. But I believe in the goodness of God. And I believe in the justice of God. And I believe in a scheme that is larger than I know or understand at this moment and in this particular set of circumstances. And there is nothing that is going to take that away from me. I read these verses in my life, and every time I read them, they become a personal challenge to me. You know, and in them, I think it's okay to question God. I think it's okay to be angry with God. I'm upset with God sometimes. Quite frankly, sometimes I think God gets it wrong. In my own arrogance, I feel that way. But in the midst of that, there is this sense that no matter how I feel, I will never give up that relationship. I will never let go of the one who will never let go of me in the midst of that. I may be that child who throws the tantrum in the arms of that loving parent who takes all the abuse but never lets go of the child. Sometimes that's me and God. But I'm so thankful that's the God that I know and the God that I love. The God that I serve. And so these words speak to us in the midst of our lives, in a world that isn't just or fair, in a life sometimes that isn't that way either, and offers us that word, that challenge. Though it's all going wrong, I will rejoice in the Lord, my Savior, who is greater than my circumstances and greater than this moment and greater than my life. The closing hymn today, "How Firm a Foundation," I took a little time to select because it really reinforces this whole concept and idea. And you guys know, I mean, I've been here a little while, we almost never sing more than three verses of a hymn, you know. And it's kind of like that old saying, after 3 days it starts smelling. After three verses you get tired. But when I selected this hymn and I read it over and over again, I thought, you know what, we got to hear all these verses. It's the whole story. And so it doesn't have four, it has five verses. And I thought, okay, how are we going to do that? So we're going to do it a little differently. I'm going to invite you to stand as you are able. We're going to sing the first verse as a congregation, and then Danielle and Olivia have something planned for the second verse. We're going to sing the third verse as a congregation, then they're going to sing. Then I'm going to read the last verse as the music plays, okay? Hear the words, hear the message to this hymn about that foundation that God provides for us. And what that means for us and what that means for God. I invite you to stand as you are able as we sing our closing hymn. Number 529, how firm a foundation. That soul, though all hell shall endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Almighty and gracious God, your love for us, God, knows no limits and knows no bounds. And we are so thankful for that. Lord, as we find ourselves sometimes trapped in the circumstances of our lives, feeling abused or neglected, feeling out of touch with you and the world, feeling the unfairness of life, the injustice of a situation. Help us, Lord, to know that your love still remains and your faithfulness is not changed. Help us to call upon you, to lean into you, and to feel your comfort and your grace and your peace, providing for us in all situations and in each and every day. Go with us, Lord, from this place. Go with us out into the week to stand on that firm foundation of your love for us and our love for you and one another. and to live as a light in the world to the good news of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray this morning. Amen. Folks, you have a great week this week.